Today on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, an award-winning guaranteed Irish company. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Today on RTE Radio 1, text 51551.
Government ministers must have been given an advance copy of this morning's programme's running order because they're talking about everything that we're talking about between now and 12 o'clock. On his way into cabinet meeting, the Minister for Higher Education, James Lawless, has confirmed that he has asked for a review into apprenticeship examinations and qualifications following a protected disclosure about test papers for apprentice electricians allegedly being sold for €50 the night before the exam. He was asked about this report in the Irish Times and said, "I had a concern that this may be widespread. The report to date suggests that it certainly has been localised and it has been nipped in the bud." Well, we will be talking to Ellen Coyne from the Irish Times in a few minutes' time about her story and whether indeed it has been nipped in the bud or not. But first, with darker, wetter mornings and evenings, commuters have begun to notice a big change in driving conditions. One of the main things catching drivers' attention is the glare from LED headlights. Calls from concerned drivers in the UK about the strength of headlights in newer cars have prompted the Department of Transport there to take a closer look at headlight design. So, should we be looking to do the same here? To discuss this and get a better sense of how big a problem this is, I'm joined by Neil Briscoe, motoring journalist with the Irish Times and CompleteCar.ie. Neil, good morning. Thanks very much for talking to us. So, how big a problem is it?
Well, it's kind of a funny one, this, because there's an awful lot of surveys going around from the UK and elsewhere in Europe that say that, you know, huge numbers of people are responding, saying that, yes, they've been affected by glare from headlights while driving at night and so on. But it is quite hard to get an actual genuine feel for how serious an issue it is, because equally, you know, you can take these surveys that say, yes, everyone's coming back and saying, oh yeah, I've definitely been hit by glare from other driver's headlights, but then you go and look at police reports into actual accidents and they don't show any particular increase in incidents in glare from oncoming lights being reported as a contributing factor to any kind of an accident or incident.
So not showing up in those stats yet, but talk to me about how much brighter or not brighter LEDs were than the halogens that they're replacing.
It's not so much the brightness, because the brightness, along with the position of the headlamps and also the beam spread of the headlamps, it's all quite tightly controlled by regulation anyway. The difference with LED lights is that they're much whiter. So there's more white, there's actually more blue light as well in an LED light beam than there would have been in an old-fashioned halogen or an old incandescent bulb. So when that hits your eye, it feels more intense. And it gives you more glare than an old-fashioned light would.
So if measured, it would be the same lumen as the halogen, but it's the actual colour of the light that we're responding to. So this would be why...
For the most part, yeah.
Do you remember those old soft yellow headlights that we had back in the 1970s and 80s that you could practically look directly at?
But the old French car headlights. We should bring those back.
You couldn't see very much in front of you with them, though, could you?
They're not as bright for the driver, those old yellow headlamps, it's true. That in fact, if you go back and you look at the regulations when the French government first introduced those lights in 1937, they were specifically to avoid glare affecting other drivers on the road.
Really?
That's because France proportionally had many more cars on the road per person at that time than most other European countries.
What a civilised and considerate people the French are. What is the logic behind these LEDs replacing the halogens? Is it anything to do with the cost? I mean, anybody who has ever bought a replacement halogen bulb will have choked.
Oh yeah, wait till you get around to replacing an LED. The theory behind fitting LEDs to cars is that A, you can control the beam much more precisely, you can throw it further ahead of the car, you can also darken out patches of the beam, which is a way of dipping your headlights without dipping your headlights. In other words, a sensor on your car will detect that there's another car either coming towards you or driving in front of you, and it'll blank out the portion of the beam where that car is sitting, leaving you with continuous full beam in the areas of the road that you need to keep it on, so such as the inside verge and so on. That's quite clever tech. It's also quite expensive. It's certainly not fitted to every car. But the main reason that car companies are fitting LEDs as headlights now, and indeed brake lights, are that they're incredibly long-lasting. Indeed, in most cases, they're designed, at least in theory, to last the lifetime of the car without replacement.
I have driven one of those cars, a rental, that does that switching off for you. And when that becomes standard issue in all cars, you'd imagine this problem would disappear, because it does it. It switches the light off or down to dips 10 times more quickly than you're ever going to be able to, even on your best day.
Some systems are very good, certainly from my experience of road testing these vehicles. Some are not so great. They can be a bit laggard, and they're particularly bad at picking up the high running lights from trucks that are driving on the other side of, say, a motorway, where the lower lights of the vehicle might be blanked out either by a crash barrier or by a hedgerow or something. So they're not perfect. They're certainly very good. And yeah, you're right to say that, you know, when those systems are properly widespread, they will probably fix the issue, because in an EU report where concerns have been raised in the EU Parliament about light dazzle from other cars, the EU looked into the situation and came back and said, look, it's basically people aren't dipping their headlights properly.
Neil, we have a text here from Tom in Kilkenny, which I think might get to the root of this. 51551, and it's about the height differential between cars. He says, I drive a car that's quite low to the ground. The near total dominance of SUVs causes awful problems to me due to their height as well as their brightness. So LED or halogen, it doesn't really matter. If the car is a foot and a half higher off the ground, the oncoming car is a foot and a half higher off the ground than yours, you're going to get dazzled, aren't you?
That's a bit of a case where perception is doing the heavy lifting rather than actual fact.
Oh,
because
really?
Obviously, well, any vehicle that's sold on the road has to legally pass all of the EU's type approval regulations before it can be sold. And those regulations include headlight height, headlight beam spread, and the intensity of the brightness. So yes, SUVs can be taller. I mean, to be fair, the majority of SUVs that are sold are vehicles like Hyundai Tucson's and Nissan Qashqai's. They're not massively taller than what you might regard as a conventional saloon or hatchback, to be honest. And certainly the positioning of their headlights and how high the headlight beam can be is, again, it's tightly regulated. So I think there's a bit of a perception thing going on where it's, you know, my lights are fine, your lights are too bright. I think there's a bit of that going on as well.
What about when you're on an incline and you're on top of the hill and a car is coming towards you? Then there is much greater dazzle, isn't there?
Yeah, obviously the angle of the road can affect the angle of the beam from an oncoming car. And if you're low down on the hill and the other car is high up on the hill, you're probably going to get a bit more of that beam. But to be fair, that's as true of old-fashioned halogen headlamps as it would be of LED lights. So that's an old problem.
Very interesting text from John and McCroom. Yes, they are extremely bright, especially if approaching on an incline, however slight, even on a dipped beam. Drivers need to learn how to adjust the headlight angle using the central console or otherwise. A huge issue, though, he goes on to say, is the young guns using their super bright bulbs, removing them for the NCT, as they're not allowed, and after the NCT, they refit the bulbs without having their headlights reset. The dipped beam is way too high. Gardaí should have equipment and the right to measure these blazing bright, badly set lights and have the offenders taken off the road until they comply. I wasn't aware that this was an issue. Is it?
Yeah, and it goes on with other aftermarket devices as well that can be fitted to soup cars up. And then, as that texter says, you take them off for the NCT and then put them back on again afterwards. And obviously, it's very hard for the regulations to pick those up. And, you know, that kind of circles back to the age-old problem of we don't really have enough guards on the road to enforce a lot of the rules of the road. So, yeah, that's definitely something that needs looking at.
Okay, and they certainly wouldn't have the equipment in the back of a squad car to do an on the side of the road NCT compliant type headlight test, would they?
Definitely
necessarily?
Not. Definitely
and
not.
Do you understand what the motivation behind doing that is? I want to have the brightest car on the road?
I guess you can understand some motivation in the sense of you want to have bright headlights because you want to see where you're going. But yeah, it's a bit stupid to have lights that just dazzle everybody. And it's, you know, not great when, you know, as that EU report says, there's an awful lot of drivers going around who just aren't dipping their headlights, whether they're modified or otherwise, or forgetting to do it or doing it late in the process. So none of that's very helpful. And it kind of comes back to the fact that we need much, much better levels of driver education, particularly in this country.
What do you do when dazzled, Neil? Do you look towards the verge on the left-hand side?
Yes, as my grandmother, who's kind of responsible for me being a car nut in the first place, always taught me, whenever there's oncoming traffic, whether it's, you know, whether they're dazzling you with high beams or not, always look to the inside verge, because while you're being distracted by the headlights coming towards you, which you always will be to a greater or lesser extent, it's the inside verge. That's where the danger is going to come from. That's where you need to be checking.
I feel compelled, though, to add the boring bit here, because back in 1868, when I did my driving test, I almost failed on one question because I gave that answer. I said, oh, I would always look down towards the left-hand side and the verge and find my line that way. And your man was looking at me and going, no, that's not the answer. That's not the answer. The official rules of the road answer is, if you are dazzled, slow down and stop until the oncoming car has passed you.
Yes, but that's not always a practical solution. And definitely keeping an eye on that inside verge when there is oncoming traffic is always an absolutely vital thing to do. And also, I think we are getting problems with, you know, the increasing use of bright LED screens in cars, which is taking away an awful lot of our night vision. And many of those are very difficult to dim at night. And I do think that's a serious safety issue that needs to be considered.
Neil Briscoe, ahead of the news headlines. Thank you very much.
Today on RTE Radio 1.